Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus, it's not Christmas, but this is Christmas reading. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's from Isaiah 7:14. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now this, again, remember, we're wanting to know more about Jesus. As we are going through these Gospels, we're asking the Lord, Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you. At Christmas time, these and other passages are read often from Matthew, and then also from the book of Luke and other places in the scripture. There are wonderful Old Testament sections that are like prophecies concerning Jesus, as well as a lot of different New Testament passages that all relay to us the birth of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus, and the story that surrounds his life. Now, you'll notice in verse 16 when it mentions the last of that genealogy, it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph." It doesn't say the father of Jesus, but instead says the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. He was Mary's husband, but he was not the father of Jesus. And this account from the Gospels tells us what happened. And, you know, the virgin birth is like the foundational doctrine. When you remove the virgin birth, if you try to argue with the truth of the virgin birth, then you really discredit all of the scripture, because that's what the Bible says happened. Jesus, this is the way he was born. This miraculous move of the Holy Ghost on Mary. Now let's look at verse 18. Mary was a spouse to Joseph. And I know that most of us, we know a lot of this information, but I'm just going to go through this. And again, we're wanting to know more about him. We're wanting to learn more about him. And I think we can, even from this familiar text. The espousal period, or the betrothal period, was usually around a year. It was an arrangement that was almost always made by the parents. The parents made the agreement, like a contract, with the other parent. And then the young man and the young lady were bound together. They were betrothed together. It wasn't their choosing, it was the choosing of their parents. You say, well, how could that ever work? Well, it did work. It worked in that society. It still works in many, many cultures around the world. And from the looks of the divorce rate in our country at 50%, even in the church, 50%, then I guess we could say that there's much to be learned about how that God wants to build marriages and bring people together. Mary was a spouse to Joseph. And this, as I said, this was the Jewish custom. They were brought together. It was very strictly observed. Usually it was around a year's time. And during that time, the man, the husband-to-be, the betrothed husband, was preparing the home. He was making preparation for the bride. There's a wonderful typology the message of what's happening right now, that Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, has gone away. He's preparing a place for the bride. And that's what, under the Jewish custom of betrothal, that he would prepare a home, make a home, and then after around a year's time, then there would be a wedding celebration that would take 7 days. No wonder they ran out of wine at the wedding of Cana. It took 7 days. Most Jewish weddings lasted 7 days during that period. And it wasn't until after that wedding that the husband would take the wife home to his house. During that year or so time of betrothal, they were committed to each other. They were bound to each other, legally bound to each other. And the only way for that to be broken was through a bill of divorcement. A bill of divorcement could be written, and that betrothal, that espousal period, could be broken by a bill of divorcement. But it could only happen if one of the other was unfaithful and committed adultery during that period. And so then they were able, then they would be put away. And that's what Joseph considered. It says here that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This was the miraculous conception of baby Jesus in this young maiden Mary. And this truth, as I said, is foundational. Some of you have read or studied from John Wolvard. He's got a lot of books. We used John Wolvard's book in Revelation when we were in Bible school, and this is a smart guy. Here's what he said about the virgin birth. He said, "The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the central fact of Christianity. Upon it, the whole superstructure of Christian theology depends." And so whenever someone says, "I don't believe that," then they're denying what the Bible says. You know, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that was used for virgin was a word that could be also translated as just a young maiden. But when those that I talked about last week, those 70 scholars who translated from the Hebrew to the Greek, the Septuagint, when those 70 scholars did that, they were very clear in their translation. And the Greek word that they used could not mean anything except a virgin. And so even though that some of the newer translations, NIV and some of the other translations, use a young maiden, it says. And it's just kind of a little way to, I'm not saying that every translation other than King James is evil. I'm just saying that many of them are less. And they remove some important truths, and they certainly, it has an effect upon, you can look it up. Look it up in the NIV. Look it up in some of the other translations. And many of them do not say virgin. They say young maiden. That is not the truth. It's not the truth. If it says that, then quit using that Bible, because that's not the truth. If they're going to alter the truth, then the truth is too important to play around with. Amen. Sad to say that 56% of seminarians in a seminary in California don't believe in the virgin birth. 56% don't believe. It's a part of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's a part of the Apostles' Creed. It's what we believe. That further study of that, of American Baptists, 69% of them don't believe in the virgin birth. 66% of Lutherans do believe. The other percentage don't. 57% of United Methodists do believe. 39% of Episcopalians do believe in the virgin birth. 34% of Methodists do believe in the virgin birth. It's a sad and a serious predicament that we're in whenever the Jesus that we know and we preach and declare, we need to understand that God's word is pure and true, and we can't alter it or change it. There's judgment declared upon anyone who adds to or in any way alters the word of the Lord. So it's important what we believe. It's important what we believe. Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Just because some don't believe, does that mean we step back and say, okay, well, they don't believe, so maybe we need to alter our doctrines so that it agrees with everybody? No, we can't do that. You know, and the more and more that we move into an age where society is humanistic and without a God-centered, a biblical-centered philosophy, and we're moving very fast in this culture right now, away from God's word, we're getting to a point now where many of these cardinal truths are not only under attack, but we've got to the point now that they've been completely removed and discredited by some who want to claim to be religious. If Jesus had a human father, then the Bible is not trustworthy. If Jesus had a human father, the Bible is not trustworthy. We might as well just do away with it all, because it is all true, because we know the revelation of God's word that is to us. Mary was a spouse, betrothed, and that's the reason for the reaction of Joseph. We have to recognize that in Joseph, that he was not an ordinary man. Not only did she have this wonderful lineage, but so did he. And they were both, well, it says that Joseph was a just man. That means that he was a man of the law, that he knew the law of God, and he was a just man. He kept the law. He lived by the law of God. And they were perfectly matched by God. But Joseph, obviously in his flesh, being a just man, it says he wasn't willing to make her a public example, which was his legal right to do. He could have taken her into the public square and declared her to be an adulterer and to have her stoned to death. He could have easily have done that and been vindicated, but instead he did not. His desire was to put her away privately, and he had the choice to do that, and we know that Joseph made that decision. And then the dream, then the revelation that comes to him. Mary had her wonderful encounter with the angel in the book of Luke, and now, and this one, this account here is of Joseph and this dream, this revelation that came to him that let him know that what he was doing was wrong and that he needed to take her to be his wife. He needed to follow through and do what he was supposed to do. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I don't know. It says he was thinking. He was thinking on those things. Maybe he slipped off to sleep while he is thinking and meditating on what's happening to his life. His life is turned upside down. What he thought was going to happen, and Mary, who he had had full confidence in, and now he's suspecting that she is immoral, and it's almost more than he can take. But the Bible says that he's thinking and meditating on these things, and the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and tells him what to do. The Bible doesn't say fear not to people who are not afraid, and I think he was afraid. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to respond in this situation. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. No average person could hear that and respond the way that Joseph did. I believe that he was an honorable man, a man who loved God, a man who followed the law of God, and thus he understood what was happening. He understood the revelation of what was taking place in his life. So he determined to keep the contract intact. He determined to go on and to make her his wife. And that's exactly what he did. So this is such a wonderful and a beautiful picture of Christ and his church, that he has gone away to prepare a place for you and for me. Amen. And he's going to come again. And we're going to have a celebration. Amen. A glorious marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a great celebration. And those of us who know the Lord and are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be a part of that and be able to enter in to that glorious experience. The Holy Ghost came upon her. The power of the highest overshadowed her. This is from the book of Luke. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's almost too great to imagine. And it is. It is. And at Christmas time, sad to say, it's only at that time we think about it, we meditate on it, we worship, we enter into times of remembering how wonderful it is to know Jesus, not just the Jesus, a little baby, but the Jesus that was born of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah had prophesied all those many years, 600 years before. There are literally dozens and dozens of Old Testament prophecies that relate to Jesus the Messiah coming. Jesus, even the virgin birth of Jesus, even from Genesis chapter 3 on through many other places in the scripture. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 7, when you go back and read the beginning of that chapter, there were two different kings that were coming against the king of Judah. And he goes to the prophet Isaiah, asking him to help, to give wisdom, to give instruction, ask counsel of Isaiah the prophet, because these enemies are coming against him. And I'm just paraphrasing because there's a lot more to read there that I'm making mention of here. But the sign that was given, that was 600 years before Jesus was born, well, he said, there's going to be a sign that's going to come, and that this throne is not going to be contaminated by those northern kings that are coming here. This throne is going to remain true, and from this throne there's going to be a lineage that's going to be passed on. And one of these days, 600 years, they didn't know 600 years later, that this will be the sign. A virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us, all those many years ago. I just pray that the Lord will help us to see Jesus in a greater, greater way, that we can have a greater understanding of who he is, what he has done, how he has provided hope for us and salvation for every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to know you and to know your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessed truth of the scripture. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will build our lives upon the foundation of truth, and no matter what is going on in our world around us, even though it's opposing and attacking God, the things that you have spoken. Lord, we're going to remain true on a solid foundation of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you will direct our steps and use us, Lord, to declare your glory in your name. We pray. Amen. God bless.